Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and live streaming on the web at am1240wgbb.com. And it's time for Dave's Gone Cultural with a guest. It's kind of a mix of Dave's Gone Cultural segment and Dave's Got Guests segment, because I'm going to talk theater with this fella, as I have done a few times in the past. He's a good friend of mine and very lively and fun to talk to. His name is Jeff Goodman. He's been a theater critic for quite a few years, and will probably have a lot to say about the season past, or at least the year past, 2004, on and off Broadway. So first I want to welcome you, Jeff. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, I feel so lively. No, I'm kidding.
Come on. You're Mr. Jovial. And what do you feel jovial about from the 2004 season, like on Broadway or off? What were some of the things you liked and didn't?
Well, the last season, but it wasn't from last year. I still feel jovial. I'm having an Avenue Q hangover.
Really? Still?
From that brilliant victory.
It was a really well-orchestrated victory, too, as far as their marketing.
They ran it just like the Oscars victories. They really advertised for it. Although I think they did it as a joke.
Well, they knew they had to do something kind of different. And they had to look hipper than thou. You know, and cooler, and they kind of wanted to be cute about it, because at first they probably didn't think they had a shot in hell.
And then
when people really started loving the show, Avenue Q, they said, wait a minute, this could really snowball. And it did.
Yeah. Who would believe it? I mean, I really couldn't believe it. The minute it won Best Music.
Mm-hmm. In the Tonys, yeah.
What? Yeah, I said, oh my God, it's going to win Best Musical.
And you were right. I thought Wicked would take it. I really
liked it. I thought towards the end, I thought Wicked would take Music, but I really thought Avenue Q was going to take Best Musical. Because I thought of it, and I said, you know, people usually vote with what, you know, the Best Musical to them is the one they had the most fun in.
And, yeah, a lot of people really felt, as the life, I thought Wicked was pretty spectacular just to see. And I liked some of the music, but Avenue Q was, in a way, just such lighthearted, hilarious fun.
Mm-hmm.
And people, as I said, vote with your heart, and people did. They really got through like all the spectacle and said, you know what, Avenue Q was really cute, was really cool. What else did you see that you really liked?
I'm trying to think what's open that I...
Well, I'll run down sort of the list of the Broadway open.
Well, you know,
there aren't
that
many of them. Yeah.
One of the things I really liked that I thought was, I didn't like it for anything else other than great direction,
mm-hmm.
was Dracula.
Oh, okay.
I thought it had great direction, and like, you know, I think when Des McAnuff does something, you have to go see it. But,
yeah.
You know, just like they have him floating, he doesn't have to float, but he got him to float, you know, and then all the flying, I thought that was done really well.
I wouldn't say it was a good musical, but I think they trashed it so completely, the critics did,
without
really appreciating the fact that it wasn't bad.
It's not a good musical.
What's wrong with it?
What they really did is they kind of screwed with the story. It kind of got boring.
Yeah,
except,
well.
You know, you loved Renfield, and then, of course, he dies. You know, halfway through the show, one of your favorite characters dies. Not a good thing.
And you don't really care that much about the women, even though you get to see them naked, which is kind of a neat thing. But it doesn't. You don't really like, which hurts.
They were totally unappealing, the women.
Right. And then the men,
Jonathan Harker was interesting.
Yeah.
They made him interesting, but the way they changed the storyline didn't work either.
What about the score? Do you remember any songs from Dracula?
Nothing.
Yeah. Me too.
Absolutely nothing. Something about biting your neck and something about flaws. <No. laughs>
All right, well, did you see the musical Brooklyn?
Yes.
And?
Talk about feeling cold.
Uh-oh.
And not caring about the characters. I thought the acting was supreme. I really liked the cast was so talented. The problem is you could care less about the characters.
Right.
And all you did is go out and sing the costumes.
Your other job is that you do parties and things and catering with balloons and flowers and what is that called?
It's called fancy schmancy.
Fancy
we don't do flowers, but we do everything else.
So
we are
like
the Bar Mitzvah Mavens.
The Bar Mitzvah Mavens, fancy schmancy. How can people find out about that?
They can call us at 516-797-3229. Thanks so much for the plug.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I also want to just make it clear that you know about design things and elements like that and creating stuff. So when you see the clever costumes in Brooklyn, it's on another level, too.
Well, that's, you know, what do you think sparks my creativity is watching all these other people's creativity?
Let me ask you about some of the revival musicals that have come through over the past... Actually, they're pretty recent, too. We've had... first of all, Lacage came back, Lacage au Folle.
Now, that... I want to hear what you have to say about that for just one second first, because I have a very interesting take on that, and no one else puts on it.
Well, I saw the original edition. It was kind of late in the run, and I wasn't... I had not seen much of Broadway back then, 20 years ago or so. And so I thought it was okay. I thought it was cute. And I liked the musical itself a lot better this time. I think when you see so much more over the years and you see what everybody's been doing, and I sat there and I was like, you know, Jerry Herman really, really knows what he's doing when he's making a musical.
But he just repeats the same four songs over and over and over.
Yes, that bothered me. It bothered me that I always thought that I Am What I Am was just one standalone song, and then you realize he opens the show with the same melody, and then it comes back with the Cajels. You know, he could have written one or two more songs,
but
the show itself has a certain something. It's a Jerry Herman-ness.
Right. Now I'll tell you what I was going to say. Didn't pick up on what I... Well, again, I picked up on design work. In my year has been of just theater design.
I don't think the design for Lacage was particularly... Not the costumes were okay, but I didn't like the skits.
But the thing that hit me first was... Oh, man, this is just like it was touring company sets.
Yeah.
It was horrible sets. They were just like a touring company. I think they took that stage and they pared it down. You know, they made the stage a lot smaller. The Cajels were much more masculine than they were before. Because I, unfortunately, am old enough to remember the original.
Well, so as I said, so yeah. I saw too. And I mean, yeah, the Cajels, I mean, I'm not up to, I don't really... go to Lacage au Folle to see the Cajels. Maybe I'm different in that. Don't care that
you know
they look
is.
Like women. It's kind of gross to me. That's a personal thing. I want to see the show. I want to see the story of these two men.
Well, the Cajels really tend to be the show because people want to see more of that. Although I must say that I did like it better this time because Harvey rewrote the book.
Did he really?
Yes. Because in the first thing, that and he rewrote exactly what I hated about the first time. If you've seen the movie, the French movie,
yes,
okay, the character of the maid is fantastic. The first time around, that character was like almost completely obliterated. He had like three lines in the whole show, and he incorporates the maid a lot more.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I didn't think the maid was that funny, quite honestly.
Oh, the maid is a very pivotal role. I think it's because he is so out there, and he says whatever.
Yeah, I think a different actor could make even more of it than this particular one did.
I really thought he did this one did fine. The other thing that struck me is that originally, as soon as he came out on stage, I thought Daniel Davis, I kept thinking Gene Barry. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
However, after I got into the show, Daniel Davis made it his own, and he is spectacular in it.
He's a very good. I mean, they're both, Gary Beach is
Gary Beach I was a little disappointed in because... He made Zaza a little bit too internal. You know what I mean? Especially I Am What I Am. He didn't come out with that big I Am Telling You number. You know what I mean?
Mm. I like the way he began it, but then when he pushed it, I didn't quite buy it.
Because you didn't buy it because he wasn't so overtly upset.
Oh, well, no, I could see. I
would much rather have seen Zaza be more... open, you know what I mean?
Well, okay. Before before we spend all our time on Lacage, let's go to another couple of shows, because this is kind of a year-end wrap-up.
Well, we also had the revival of Pacific Overtures, which I loved.
Uh-huh. Did you see the original Pacific Overtures?
Yeah, no.
You did not. So you came to this one, as I did, kind of clean, and what was it specifically about Pacific Overtures that you liked
so
much?
Well, first of all, I think it's Sondheim's greatest undone musical.
Because it's undone by some book problems in the second act, or undone that nobody
does
it?
No, undone because no one ever produces it.
Yeah, okay.
It's This and Anyone Can Whistle, or It's Too Great Undone.
Okay.
But I think it has brilliant music, and I don't think the second act has a problem. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I think we get into, at first, that fisherman and his wife, and she's, as you say, there's a character who would be really interesting, who disappears very early into the show. And we start following him, but the musical itself is so segmented, book-wise. You know, we go from here to here. It's sort of an overview from a crane shot of what's happening in Japan.
I think what happens is the first act is the slowness of the old Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Until, you know, the Americans came and they thought they got rid of them. And the second act shows you everything moves so fast after everyone industrialized it.
But I still lost the through line of that guy who was went from a nobody to being...
The Shogun and the Fisherman?
Yeah. And then, you know, suddenly they're changing things and years
well,
pass
no,
and they kill
they
each other.
Hat. Bowler Hat's a very good number. It's done very well from this.
It's done well. But I'm not saying that it's this production that has this problem. I have a feeling that the show as a whole has this weird kind of wants to be two things at once. And not just wants to be about Japan and then wants to tell the story as if it were Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying it wants to be this overview of all the events that happened and tell the intimate stories. And the intimate stories just get confused and kind of lost.
All I could say is I don't see the problem with all that. But what I did see was a brilliant production. I thought Someone in a Tree really moved me this time.
Song. That's a wonderful... I mean, that song just stays in your head for days.
Mm-hmm.
I think I discussed with you my problem with the song, though, in the show. The fact that, as great a song as it is, what really happens is you have two guys. It's all about the beginning meeting of the Japanese and Commodore Perry's people. And something goes on in a tent where they're obviously arguing or trying to make a treaty or just being cordial or whatever they're doing. And
right.
The only report we get on that is from two people who happen to be outside the hut. One
right.
was in a tree and one was watching from...
That's what makes it so interesting, because before the whole... See, it's set up by the narrator character.
Mm-hmm.
Tells you that there's no record of what was done because it was done for no reason. It was just done to let them come and go.
Well, yeah.
So there was no records kept.
But the thing, the only problem that with the song for me was as brilliant an idea of it as it is, because one guy can see everything that's going on, but he can't hear a word.
And they put it together.
And the other person, right, he heard everything, but they spend a lot of the song just saying, I saw it, I heard it.
No.
But they tell us very, very little of what they actually saw and heard.
But
all they could
do is tell you what they saw and heard. He goes, someone reads a list from a box, and the other guy says, someone speaks of laws. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess. So, and you just figure there's going to be something more that they tell you. But they say one or two little things, and then suddenly it's back to, you know, I'm someone in a tree. I was someone in a tree. I was someone watching from here.
Oh, that's the song.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Anywho. What
I did like is in the first act, when the fisherman and his wife are walking home before, you know, when he thinks he's doomed.
Yeah.
I thought that was just lovely.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple of beautiful songs in there. There's No Other Way and...
Right.
Pretty Lady is a...
Pretty Lady, I thought, was
a scary song, but yeah.
But it was kind of done to frighten you.
Well,
it is.
They turn into rapists.
Well.
Almost. They're stopped in their tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Fiddler on the Roof. Let's move to Fiddler.
Fiddler?
Yeah.
Not a great revival.
How come?
Did you think it was a great revival?
Great revival, no, but Fiddler always is Fiddler.
Fiddler's Fiddler, and that's fine.
But what was missing then? A great
Kevya?
Energy?
Energy. And
okay.
and they, you know, certain things, it's so funny, because when you screw around with my favorite stuff, you don't win, you know? Like when they take Grandma's title and don't make her interesting.
Okay.
Very, very bad move. You know?
I don't even remember the
when Muddle the Taylor has more energy... Heaviest.
Well, I didn't like Muggle. I thought he was hamming and going, you know, completely berserk.
But it needed the energy in this thing. Now, what's happening coming up is very interesting.
Oh, tell me. I mean, yes,
I've
mentioned this.
Is Heavia
with Andrea Martin as
Golda?
I
know.
I hope they'll let us back in, because my gosh, I would not miss that.
No, me neither.
Oh my God.
I mean, the only song he could pull off, I think, is. You love me.
But he'll be singing that to Muggle, you know.
Yeah, right?
Hey, what about some of the plays that opened in the past season? Did you see
Gem of the Ocean, I thought, was terrific.
The August Wilson play, Gem of the Ocean. One of his best, or middle, or what?
I think one of his best.
Because?
Because it was interesting. It told the story. It told about the period. See, he did exactly what he wanted to do with his, I don't know, a trilogy, three plays a trilogy. What's 10 plays?
A decalogue, I guess.
A decalogue, okay. But it did what he wanted with his decalogue. And I thought Felicia Rashad, even though I don't think they'll ever give her a Tony Award again,
Well, she deserved it more for this, you're right, than this. She was almost unrecognizable. She was really cool in this.
She was terrific.
What did you think of Democracy? I thought you were you the board
member? Democracy,
one?
I was, I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think it's a very tough sell. To, you know, I didn't love it. I thought it was interesting because of the whole idea, because I really didn't know about that controversy, because in America we're kind of insulated from those kind of things. But I think...
I should mention, it's about Herr Willy Brandt in Germany and his incredible... It catches him at the height of his power and then shows his amazingly quick downfall through internal intrigue as well as external out in East Germany.
And,
yeah.
and there's always that thing, was there really an East German spy in his cabinet or whatever that is, his advisors?
Yeah. So, but my only problem with it was the acting. I thought some of the supporting players were pretty weak. I would have loved to have seen an all-English, even though it's all about Germans, I think it needed an all-English cast. It needed more Michael Cumsteys and fewer Richard Mazurs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what about 12 Angry Men?
12 Angry Men was a brilliant revival.
Well, that was not a revival. It was new. It never played Broadway before. It was the show was from like 1960s. I found out.
Right.
But, it never been done on Broadway.
Never been done.
Premiere, I think.
Before.
You know, as a Broadway show.
Oh, I thought it was good then.
Good. Okay.
I really didn't.
I thought it was terrific. Yeah.
And as long as we're on the roundabout, you must praise The Foreigner.
I didn't see The Foreigner. That's off Broadway with Matthew Broderick. I know you love that play
and
for
Francis Sternhagen.
Personal reasons. Yeah. Didn't you once appear in a production of it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that's not the reason why I love the show.
Oh, okay.
I love the show because of its message.
Which is?
Never underestimate.
Nice.
Don't underestimate anyone, because that's what it is the people are constantly underestimating the characters.
They
may not actually do what they seem to do, but what they are doing is, it's so convoluted, you have to see it. You know, because they don't, it's not like they're accomplishing what they actually look like they're accomplishing.
Cool.
But they still are underestimated, and the power of several underestimated people beats a lot of things.
Well, we thought so in December, on November 2nd, but anywho. A couple of quick questions. Let's just close this with
Go see that.
That's The Foreigner at the roundabout. The one-person shows that opened, there have been a few of them.
It was like good, better, terrible, okay, fine.
700 Sundays, the Billy Crystal?
Loved it.
Loved it, too.
Probably the best thing, best one-person show this season.
And what did you think of Whoopi's return?
Whoopi?
Mm-hmm.
Could do without her.
Really?
I loved the first half hour.
Yeah.
When through her, I forget the character's name. The junkie.
It's not Fontaine.
It is Fontaine.
Yeah.
Through Fontaine, she gives her own point of view of her political points of view. But her other characters, they just go on too long. There's too much talk of tampons.
Yeah. I guess you're all up in it, aren't you? I don't even know what that means. What did you think of the Mario Cantone, by the way?
Loved
closing
it.
Soon.
You know what the problem was?
What?
The biggest problem for Mario Cantone is Billy Crystal came up with a similar thing and just did it better.
And did it better, yeah. Mario Cantone
is a laugh and a half.
Yeah.
He is, I would certainly pay to see him. With fresh material.
Yeah, he had me rolling, except for, like, the Liza and Judy stuff. That just went on and on. But the other stuff, there were times when I was really... Also with Crystal. With Crystal, there were times I was hurting. That kind of laughter, where, please don't tell a joke for 10 seconds so I can catch my breath kind of laughing. So that's pretty...
I don't know. A lot of Billy Crystal's stuff was about his family, and some was very sad, and some was very funny.
Oh, yeah, that made it great, too, in the second. I think it's a little too long, but there were things that he did. That barbecue, the mime barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
Where it seems like it's just going to be kind of cute, kind of, and then he just goes on with it, and literally, again, you know, aching with laughter.
But he's a lot of the stuff you've seen before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew about the his talking penis. No, now. He's been doing that for 15 years. But it all worked together. It was a great show.
It really did. It put together some of his old stuff, like the birth of the baby. He's done that before. But it's just this, he puts together some of his acts, and it all is about his life, which is very interesting.
Oh, sure. I mean, his whole, all the jazz people that his grandfather and his father knew. And
who would ever think the first person he went to see a movie with was...
Was Billie Holiday. He sat on next to her on Billie Holiday's lap watching a movie.
Who could believe?
And he didn't turn into a strange fruit. But, you know, Jeff Goodman, last question. What are you really looking forward to seeing on or off Broadway in 2005?
Oh, Spamalot.
Spamalot, yes. That's turning into as hot a ticket as the producers over in Chicago, by the way.
Yes.
So they're really, who knows?
Well, you know, it's sold out for the first 2 months of its run already.
Oh, my gosh.
It's probably going to recoup its investment before it opens.
So, any others besides the Monty Python Spamalot?
I think that
then you're looking
Dirty Rotten Scandals is going to...
Scoundrels, right, yeah.
Scoundrels, I mean. You know what I'm waiting for? The revival of... what's the one about the women in the getting their hair done?
Oh, Steel Magnolias.
Yes.
That'll be the first Broadway production of it. It was off-Broadway 20 years or 15
well,
years
kind
ago.
Kind of following the footsteps of Little Shop.
Sure.
There's a whole lot of interesting stuff coming up.
All right. Well, I hope you'll be there to track it with us now and again on this radio program. I want to remind folks that I'm talking to Jeff Goodman, who can do your party stuff and fancy schmancy balloon stuff by calling 516, what's the number?
797-3229.
3229. And I should also, you are a legitimate published theater critic. I just can't tell people where you write for because it's generally under a pseudonym.
Bowie Secret.
But you, as everybody can tell, you know your theater, you love your theater, and you're great fun to talk to.
And you know what I do best?
What's that?
I do bar mitzvahs that are themed with Broadway.
Of course, Broadway-themed bar mitzvahs.
Can you imagine?
Well, if I ever have a king, I want you to do a night mother bar mitzvah for him.
Oh, good Lord.
Like, put little shotguns on all the tables.
With Brenda Blethyn.
Everybody gets salty, hot chocolate. It'd be really cool. Jeff Goodman, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Happy 2005.
Thanks for visiting the neighborhood.
Always my pleasure.